the 10th and 11th verses of this third chapter of Isaiah, the prophet writes this: "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." And then he says in verse 11, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him." In this text, there are two classes of people mentioned: the righteous and the wicked. And the word of God, not this preacher, the word of God divides the globe's population into only those two classes. We, as human beings, tend to put people in one camp or another. They're rich or poor, healthy or sick. They're of one race or another race, one culture or another culture. Let me tell you something. People are either saints or sinners. That's it. That's it. These two races have always been in existence, and they have always been at enmity with one another. If you're a believer, you're in a conflict with the world. And if you're in the world, you're in a conflict with believers. When Christ founded his church during his public ministry, it included many races and many varieties of people. When they first met in the early chapters of the book of Acts, they didn't know how to deal with each other. There were so many people there, and they all spoke different languages, and all of a sudden God gave people the ability to speak languages they didn't know. Now, if I stand up here this morning and I start talking to you in Swahili, you can be sure that God's given me a gift, because I don't know a word of Swahili. But men who never knew a foreign language in their life started speaking in the language of other peoples. But it only dealt with two classes: the righteous and the wicked. God would never have his people to enter into the camp of evil. He would have them to come out and be different. In this book we call the Bible, there's a crimson stream that runs between the righteous and the wicked, and nothing but the banner of love, of the Savior's love, can fly over the body of his people. Everybody in the world, everybody in this building today, is part of one company or the other. And the bad part for most people is, especially with the wicked, they don't know which company they're in. It is only when God shows us who we are and what we are and brings us to faith and makes us part of the righteous that we understand there's a difference between the two. All I can see about you all is outside. You look all right on the outside. Well, Brent's two black eyes don't look too good, but everything else looks all right. But I tell you, if you're here today and you're one of those folks that's in that wicked camp, I pray God will speak to you and bring you to know his son. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled "Some Good News and Some Hard News." Let's talk about some good news. Let's think about the benefits of the righteous. He says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." It shall be well with you. I hear people sometimes talk about money, and they say, "Well, I'm pretty well off," or, "I'm not doing so well." usually about tax time they say that. I'm not doing so well. This is a simple statement. It has few adverbs in it and few adjectives to limit its promise, and yet it's a promise. It is well. It's a grand statement in the simplicity that's stated in a few words. I had a funeral yesterday, and a man sang that hymn, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? This is a descriptive statement. It is always, always well with the righteous. When persecution comes, they're thankful for such an assuring promise. The Lord is mine. There is no time mentioned in this promise. There is no occasion that is singled out. God rules in all things and in all times. It is well with God's people. He calls us from our bed like he did the little boy Samuel. He calls us like David, this old man who in his old age got into the bed and laid down and concluded his life with ease. He had fought his whole life. From the time that before he fought Goliath, he had killed bears and lions that attacked his father's sheep. He killed that man 9'6" tall. He fought battles from one end of that country to the other. God wouldn't let him build the temple because he was a man of war. But when it came time to die, he laid down in the bed comfortably and went to sleep. It's like Lazarus, that beggar in Luke 16. He was so poor he didn't have anything to eat. He was dirty and unkempt. Sores all over his body, and the street dogs would come and lick the sores. And yet, he was at peace with God. Like Job, they washed their feet with oil and butter in the harsh wells of this world. It shall also be well with the righteous when the future comes. The righteous look forward to troubles when they see God's provision. A man who has $1 million in the bank does not worry if his gas bill is $60 or $100 or $500. And you who are believers, your Father has an abundance. What you can't do, he can. What you can't pay, he can. What you can't perform, he can. They extend their view to the coming decline because he'll be with them. Unlike Brenda, I'm elderly. I'm an old man. And I think about that a lot. That one day before long, I may not be able to preach anymore. One day before long, I might not be able to drive a car. One day before long, I might not be able to do a lot of things I can do today, and there's a lot of things I don't know how to do today. I was thinking about that this morning. God will do for me what I can't do. There's coming a time I'm going to die. Breath is going to slip out of my body. Now, don't cry for me. Because death is like a door. Out through the door. And I'll be gone. The people of God look at life through the telescope of faith. Have you ever seen it? You ever looked through a telescope at the moon? If you haven't, have you ever had an opportunity to do it? It's fascinating to look at it. I don't care about stars or stuff like that, but it's neat to see how God made that thing. Things that you can't see with your eye, even though it's big and it's huge, it's in the sky. But you look at it through a telescope, you see all the details that God put into it. My God did that. Don't you think God can take care of things? When God issues a shall, it applies to any situation and unimaginable circumstances. Our dear sister lost her husband this week. If she's not different than I think she is, she has probably thought a few times since then, how am I going to get by? How am I going to do things? Carol, I don't know. But the God you believe in knows. And He'll make a way. He'll make a way. I dealt with the Botts family yesterday and Friday, and Carol Ann is just distraught. And I sat down with her yesterday and said, Carol Ann, the God you believe in sits on the throne. If you really believe in Him, trust Him. We rest in this declaration on the basis of divine authority. Our brother Gary was a fireman, and they had a lot of firemen at his funeral yesterday. I never saw as many badges and stuff. Firemen and police officers and so on. And I thought, well, we've got all these folks here. Maybe if somebody tries to rob the place, they can defend us. But I'll tell you, when nobody can defend you in this world, you can rest in this declaration that it shall be well, because it's based on divine authority. And God's authority never ends. He doesn't die. He doesn't lose His office. He doesn't resign. The government does not merge. A wise man may look at this promise and say, well, yeah, it's well. But I don't know. I kind of got some questions about this, that, or the other. Well, have all the questions you want. God is the answer to the questions. How much better to have such a promise that it is well given to us under the hand of divine omniscience? God knows everything. I don't have the best memory in the world. Yesterday I learned something, now I can't remember what it was. But what it was, it surprised me that I didn't know it. But when God gives us a promise, He doesn't give us a promise that He just learned. He gives us a promise that's based on His knowledge. Let me ask you a question. Do you know what you're going to do tomorrow? Now, I know that's a silly question because you all think you do. I'm going to do this, that, or the other. The truth of the matter is, you don't know. You don't know. But when God says it is well, he does so on divine authority, no matter what the circumstances are. I tell you, faith in God is a blessed thing. He says to all of the righteous, it is well. We can rest in his promise, not only in good times, but in bad times. I'm not any different than you. I have good times. I'm thinking about a big old bologna sandwich now with a big slab of onion on it. That's a good time. But I also had some bad times. I've dealt with sickness, adversity. See, I'm a normal man in this respect. I don't like being sick. And I get frustrated if doctors take too long to fix anything with me. And last 2 years ago when I had part of my foot amputated, I got so aggravated those doctors I was ready to strangle them. I had things to do and I didn't want to wait on them. But it is well with our soul. It's not always well with our bodies, because our bodies are the casket of our nature. Our souls are well in the truest sense that it can possibly be. No matter what the condition of the body, it is well with our souls. The godly will be as pure and happy as a mortal can possibly be. I don't know how happy that is, but that's how happy we can be. It is well with the saints, and God wants them to know it. God wants you to know it's well with you. It's not dangerous to assure Christians that it's well with them. Some people say, I don't tell people everything's okay because it's not all right. You don't know what you're talking about. It is all right. My dear sister has a broken heart this morning. I know how she feels. But it's well with your soul. It's well with your soul. This statement is beneficial, and we ought to say it. We ought to say it often, and we ought to say it clearly. Somebody starts, well, I've got this problem, that problem, my other problem, I've got that ingrown toenail, my hair's messed up, and I got a toothache, and my knee hurts. And it's well with your soul. It's well with your soul. I tell you, if God says it's well with you, it's well with you. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make a difference. The truest worship in the Lord is to joy in his Son. You know, we forget what a great God we have. We do. We forget that. We have a great God. We have a blessed Savior. Old songwriter once wrote this, 'Tis well when joys arise, 'tis well when sorrows flow, 'tis well when darkness veils the skies and strong temptations blow. What cheering words are these? Their sweetness, who can tell? In time and to eternal days, 'tis with the righteous well. I say amen to that. And then there must be some accounting for this glorious and godly truth. It is well. He says here in our text, say ye to the righteous. I'm old school. I preach a lot about the righteousness of God, about his justice and his wrath, about judgment, because it's in this book so much. But I also must constantly remember and deal with reminding you who are the righteous that it is well with your souls. It's well with the believer when their greatest trouble is past. Have you ever been through some great sickness? And you finally got over it. You thought, man, this will never end. Whew, boy, I feel better. I've seen some of you go through things like that. Our greatest trouble is the curse and guilt of sin. But the guilt was endured and taken away by our great substitute. It is finished, was his cry. Our sin is pardoned through the Lord Jesus Christ, and our iniquity is gone. Now, I don't know about you, but I've a limited mind, and it's hard for me to imagine that. But it's true, and the Bible is so profound in declaring that, that our iniquity is gone. It is well with my soul. Our next great trouble is also doomed. Our second greatest trouble is the burden of indwelling sin. Does your sin bother you? Boy, mine drives me crazy. And the only relief I get from it is to hear the words of my Master that it is well with my soul. Christ has by his death pierced the heart of sin's power over every one of his children. Our soul has been washed and cleansed and made like God in Christ's imputed mercy. The believer in Christ also knows that their best things are safe. You know, the believer's treasure is never in this earthly vessel. Never. Almost every one of you probably has all over your home trinkets and knickknacks and stuff that you've collected from this place, or somebody gave it to you, or belonged to your great grandmother or your Uncle Charlie or somebody. I want you to know that one day you're going to die and you're going to leave all that stuff behind. It's the reason I never move. I've lived in the same house for 55 years. I don't want to move. It's too much stuff. I just pile it up upstairs. You know, thieves and moths and wrecks can't harm real treasures. It is well with my soul. Our worst things work for our good, and nothing can damage us. You know, God puts within every believer grace to make all things well. Spirit of God every day visits us with fresh life and power. Someone asked me this morning, said, did you make it through the day yesterday? And I said, well, obviously I'm here, but I thought about what you don't know is how yesterday started. I woke up yesterday morning at 5 o'clock. My blood sugar was 59. I was dizzy. I couldn't walk. Things were a mess. I got in the car, went over to my favorite little eating hole, and she said to me, you are not normal. I said, why not? I have never been normal in my life. She said, no, there's something wrong with you. Well, blood sugar's a little bit low. It'll be okay. She went and got me some orange juice, gave it to me. And after I ate two or three plates of food, it got better. You know, God does that for us. He gives us what we need. I didn't say what you wanted. I said what you need. That glorious throne of grace is a bank that never goes broke. I had one of those big old water jugs, you know, like we got on a water cooler back there. It got damaged, and I kept that thing, and I saved quarters in it for a long time. It got up two-thirds of the way full. I don't know how much it weighed, several hundred pounds. And I said, I don't need to keep all these quarters. So every once in a while, I turn it over, and I'll dump me a bucket full of them out, and I use them for this, that, or the other. That's the way life's problems are. They just overwhelm us. And God just turns them over and lets them wash away. It's well with the righteous in life. And I'll tell you something, it's well with the righteous after death. We must never forget that. We will reign with Christ and triumph in his victory. Now, I don't like to upset anybody's apple cart, but I tell you, people have so many bad ideas about dying. I know that Gary and, I mean, that Carol and Vicki miss Gary a lot, as we do. But, girls, as much as it's hard for you to believe, Gary doesn't miss this world. I get tired of hearing people talk about all these people that are hanging over the balconies of heaven, looking down here watching us. We're like ants, and we're running around on earth, and they're trying to watch us and see what we're going to do. Listen to me. They're in the presence of a king. It is well with their souls. We will reign with him, and we'll triumph, not in ourselves, but in his victory. Our reward's not of debt. God doesn't owe you anything. But he rewards his people with grace and mercy. We will feast in his triumphs, and we'll do well in his merit. And we embrace the reward of the righteous. And then quickly, there's another verse here that needs to be paid attention to. He says, woe unto the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. It is ill for the wicked on the divine authority of God. All the psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors and TV commentators all tell you folks will just get better. They'll get better. Don't worry about all these folks that are hung up on drugs and stuff like that. All we got to do is get them in a counseling session, give them 12 rules to walk by, give them a cup of methadone. Everything will be okay. Give them some clean needles and everything will be all right. They're foolish. If God says wickedness is ill, it's surely ill. And there's plenty of it in our world. And the future has no light for the ungodly. They live in darkness, and they walk in darkness, and they die in darkness. Physical health is not beneficial to the soul. I know people that are as healthy as a horse, and their souls are as dead as a mackerel on a slab. I never forget, it's been 40 years or better, going to visit a little old widow woman down in Anderson County one day, and she came to the door, and she's shaking like this, and she said, preacher, would you like some coffee? I said, well, it's not, I don't have to, but if you've got some coffee, I'll drink a cup of coffee with it. She gives me a cup of coffee, and she says, here, you take it, I'll spill it, and she gets a cup, and She starts out with it full, and when she starts sipping out of it, she doesn't have a half a cup left. And I said, this poor lady, I feel so sorry for her. And I talked to her for about 15 minutes. And I left there walking on clouds. That gal was, she was walking with the Lord. It must be ill with the wicked because God is infinitely, and I mean infinitely, holy. The sinner is completely out of joint with God's entire creation. They're running a different channel. Their enemy is the omnipotent God of heaven. He's goodness in everything. Life's threads and joys are to be severed in an instant. I know that all of you plan to live a long time. But however long you expect to live, you ought to live every day as if you're going to die. Because you might. You might. They have no mercy seat to appeal to God. They have no hope of another. They have no hope of a better world to make them glad. There are no circumstances in this world that will make men and women of wickedness to have peace. The time of judgment will come. Well, the good husbandman, he reigns. And eyes that never weep for sin here will surely weep in eternity. It will be ill with the wicked in God's holy justice. You know, God's the only one who can deliver you from his dreadful anger and justice. I pray today, as I pray every week, that we all may leave here clothed with Christ and rejoicing in his mercy. To God be all the glory, because heaven's throne endures. I pray God will teach us to not worry so much about death, but to teach us to pursue holy mercy in his Son. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your situation, if you're in Christ, all is well. And it always will be. It always will be. Old songwriter once wrote these words, and I close with this. And what am I, my soul awake, and that impartial prospect take, does no dark sign, no ground of fear, in practice or in heart appear. What image does my spirit bear? Is Jesus formed and living there? Say, do his limits divine in thought, in word, and actions shine. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul.